Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele, Harriet Russell and Polly Sayer. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Heather, it's so nice to see you back on your feet. You really suffered from COVID for a really long time, didn't you?
I did. And yeah, I'm still not feeling 100%. I'm still tired constantly, but thank God all the other horrid symptoms seem to have disappeared now.
You tested positive, what, on Christmas Eve? Is that right?
Yeah, so I started feeling weird on the 22nd, but I didn't have any of the three symptoms that they say to, you know, go and get tested for. I kind of had like prickly skin, my like whole body was really achy and I had headaches, but there was a sort of walk-in test centre around the corner from me. So I was like, I'm just going to go just to be safe. And then, yeah, started feeling worse over the next couple of days. And then basically, yeah, on Christmas Eve, got my nice text message saying that, yeah, I had tested positive. So, yeah, basically isolating all of Christmas and New Year was allowed, let loose again on the 2nd of Jan. I basically had like the full range of symptoms. And then obviously, because there was no escaping it, my boyfriend ended up getting it as well. About 3 or 4 days after Christmas, he started getting symptoms as well. So, yeah, we had a nice Christmas and New Year. But no, thankfully. Yeah, feeling much better. And everyone else is probably going stir crazy at the lockdown, but I'm just still like so grateful for my daily walks, having not been able to even leave the house, you know, for a long time.
It's also for so many people such a slow recovery. Like, you have to take it so slow. I know so many people who try to kind of exercise and stuff thinking they felt back to peak wellness and then were coming back down with temperatures and symptoms and stuff. You have to go slowly.
I know. And because I was doing that couch to 5K as well. And I think I was 6 runs away from finishing it and was feeling like really good about it just before. And then, yeah, obviously haven't done anything like that since, because it's just weird. The symptoms, they kind of change as it all goes on. But I think the scariest time was around or just before New Year's Eve, like when my breathing went. And that was, yeah, you know, you can kind of cope a bit with the aches and the temperature and all that stuff by just kind of taking painkillers and going to sleep. But yeah, when you can't even walk up sort of 8 stairs to go to bed without sort of collapsing once you get up, it was quite scary. But yeah, no, but thankfully I'm much better now. Back at work, full steam ahead. So yeah, on with the show.
And as you say, at least you're not commuting and you can just sleep when necessary and stuff.
Exactly, exactly.
Harriet, Polly, what are you guys watching? Has there been much binging going on?
So much TV. So over the weekend, we watched 2 films. One was Pieces of a Woman, which obviously is a big hit, and I know you guys talked about it last week, so I won't say anything else other than to say that I largely agree with what Lou said. Definitely worth a watch. In my opinion, the ending's a bit weak, but see what you think. DM me. And then the second thing was actually an older film. It came out in 2019, but it's called Official Secrets.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I was going to say it's Keira Knightley and Matt Smith in the lead roles, which it is, but honestly, the rest of the cast, it's like a who's who of British actors. Like, name me a British actor, they're probably in it. Like, Reese Iffens, Matthew Good, Tamsin Grieg, Ralph Fiennes, like, honestly, there's loads. And it's based on a true story, and Keira Knightley plays Catherine Gunn, who used to work at GCHQ during, well, sort of in the lead-up to the Iraq War in 2003. And she's famous because she leaked a memo about a Security Council resolution that the US were trying to sort of manipulate at the time to try and get the war approved. And she was basically put on trial for it, but completely got off and managed to prove her entire point at the same time. It's a fascinating watch. Keira Knightley is really good in it.
Have you seen the guy who does the
I love him. He's so funny.
Obsessed with him. He's so funny. So he's called Luke Millington Drake, and he's on Instagram and presumably TikTok. Very, very funny. Really recommend them for a laugh.
She's proper bait for impressionists.
Definitely. She's hot time. So many idiosyncrasies, aren't there? Because as much as the pouting is not terrible in Official Secrets by any means. There's this thing that I've really noticed about her, which is her walk. She always walks like stocky and like with her arms really straight. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's not a normal
relax,
walk.
Babe.
Relax. But she is good in it. She's very convincing. And Matt Smith is obviously brilliant in it as well. It's not Prince Philip working at the Observer.
Where can you watch it, Harriet?
It's free on Amazon Prime.
Heather, what have you been watching?
So, yeah, when I was in the COVID clink, I was pretty much like, I can't watch anything. I couldn't read anything. I was just like asleep the whole time, basically. But once I started to feel a bit better, I basically sort of ransacked my sister's Disney Plus account and obviously watched Soul, which I think was spoken about before. Oh. It was absolutely brilliant.
It is brilliant.
I enjoyed that a lot. And also, I know I've spoken about it before, but I'm a massive Star Wars fan, but hadn't got around to watching The Mandalorian, which is the Disney series that they did that's set in the future based on the original films. So yeah, essentially binged those two series in a couple of days, and it was as amazing as I thought it would be. The general consensus is that it's better than any of the recent Star Wars films have been, so...
Yeah,
it was very good.
No. Is it the same production value, though, as the films? Like, is it at that level, even though it's
a series? It's still got, like, Lucasfilm involved with it, and they're the ones who do all the special effects. And, yeah, if anything, it's just better because it's sort of more modern. But it's very, very good if you like any. It's not even sci-fi. It's just kind of a good drama, to be honest. And then, I know I've spoken about it before, but we're still ploughing on through with The Sopranos, now on the penultimate series. Good, loving it even more than I was before. And just
nice to get your progress.
Yeah, and like wanting to just eat Italian food every time I watch an episode. It's really hard to watch because they're constantly like eating homemade pasta, or they're like drinking red wine in an Italian restaurant, or there's always some food around. So it's quite hard to watch if you're feeling a bit peckish.
It's so weird how series do that to you. There's an Israeli show called Fauda, which I've talked about before, and I remember Ben and I binging a whole season in a Saturday, and we were like, it got to the end, and we were like, we need Israeli now. We like went straight to the falafel, we're like, we need falafel, we need falafel. He's like, it's so weird, it can really immerse you, can't it?
Yeah, that's it. I think because there are just so many scenes where obviously because it's all about family, they're just always at Sunday dinner like eating. Incredible stuff. So yeah, not one to watch when you're hungry. And then otherwise, I don't think there's that many fans in the office, but RuPaul's Drag Race is back on.
I love
RuPaul's Drag Race. I didn't know that. That's good to know. And we're lucky at the moment, perfect lockdown entertainment. The US one has started on Netflix, and then the UK one started last week on iPlayer. So excellent stuff all around for me. It genuinely makes me so happy. Like if I watch an episode, I just feel like a different person.
I do too. I was going to say, actually, it was going to be one of my recommendations. I find Heather, like obviously I love the US version, but the UK just completely made me belly laugh so many more times.
It's
in the first
so
episode.
So much better.
Yeah.
Like, because the UK queens are funny.
Yeah, they're funny and they don't take themselves too seriously. Yeah. It's a lot more like taking the piss out of themselves. And like I just felt so good for watching it. Like it's just hilarious and a bit of joy, and it's all about, you know, self-expression and whatever. Yeah. So it's quite, I think it's a really nice thing to watch at the moment, even if you're not like, kind of into drag or anything like that. It's just
exactly
funny.
I think definitely for anyone listening, if you haven't seen any of it, just watch the UK one because it's they've just got so much personality. And like watch the first series as well, because I think that's all on iPlayer at the moment. But yeah, I mean, if you follow Love of Huns, it's constantly got Bag of Chips on there, so you'll probably recognise half the cast anyway.
Who was your favourite in the first episode?
I don't know. Like, I genuinely didn't want any of them to go home. So, yeah, I don't know. How about you?
I think I just love Lawrence Chaney. I laughed so many times. I absolutely love her. So I think she's my one to watch.
But what I love as well about her is that you just know there's going to be a really good storyline, because when basically on the show you obviously see them do all these tasks kind of like America's Next Top Model and all of that, but then there's also lots of sort of behind the scenes stuff when it's just them out of drag talking to the camera and narrating. And yeah, Lawrence was like, I'm so unconfident when I'm not in drag, like I was bullied, I hate the way I look, and then he just completely transforms into this person. So I can imagine the trajectory through the show is gonna hopefully see his confidence build, which is always nice to see.
Yeah, I liked that a bit. I like seeing the kind of real side of them, because they're all sort of humans at the end of the day, aren't they?
Guys, you're selling it. Maybe I'll try the UK version then.
Yeah, do it. Honestly, you won't regret it. It's just so much fun.
So we're watching something a bit less fun, perhaps. We've been binging Line of Duty. So many people had said to us to get involved, and so we finally did. And we've watched two seasons in, like, maybe 5 days, which is so rare for us. We're not big bingers at all. We watched 4 hours of it yesterday, and I'm not joking, like, all I thought about during the night, like, every dream, every moment I wake up was Line of Duty. It's so good. We really love it. We've watched two seasons, so very happy that we've still got plenty more to binge.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's really good. For those who don't know, it's about AC12, which is an anti-corruption unit in the police force. So they basically hold the police accountable. And obviously there's lots of, like, juicy drama and crime and, like, the most convoluted storylines, I think, of any show I've ever watched. I don't think I've ever watched anything with so many things happening in one go. But again, it's such a good cast. Season 2, which we watched the whole of this weekend, stars Keely Hawes, who's just brilliant in it. Yeah, just so gripping, so exciting, good full hour episodes, like exactly the escapism that we need in lockdown. In the first lockdown, and actually for most of last year, I kept saying, oh, I can't watch anything serious. I can't, you know, I really need, like, complete light escapism, whereas actually I now need, like, a much more intense level of escapism than that. And I think exciting drama is the only way to go.
Yeah.
So that's why Line of Duty has been working. But then on the flip side, I have finally, after, I mean, months of harassment from my friends, got into Schitt's Creek. Yeah, so I'm not joking. I think I tried Schitt's Creek 8 or 9 times the first, like, trying to get through season 1. And I just found it so sad. Like, I just didn't get it. I thought it was so depressing. I thought it was so sad that these poor people had lost everything. And even that, I get that it's a comedy, you know, for those who don't know, it's about a family who are mega, mega wealthy and lose everything. And the only thing they're left with is a town that they bought the deeds to because they thought the name was funny, called Schitt's Creek, and they end up living there and building a life for themselves there. And yeah, I just did not get it because I just thought it was all so devastating, and, like, imagine that happening. Like, it's just so sad. But anyway,
I don't think that's meant to be there.
No, I know.
You know they're all, like, thoroughly unpleasant people, yeah, right?
Oh my God, I'm literally obsessed with them. Anyway, so I really persevered. I'm on season, like, 4.5. Uh-huh. I am obsessed. Like, David, who is Daniel Levy in real life, Eugene Levy's son, is, like, I mean, that is my soul sister. Like, yeah. I know a lot of people feel like this about him, but, like, I just love all the characters so much. My friends were like, it's sad for, like, one episode, like, get over it, just keep going. Yeah. And they were right. It's so good.
It's such a slow burn. I feel like me and my mum watched the first 3 episodes and we were like, what is this? And I went on a Sheer Lux show after they had won the Emmys, and I'd only watched those 3 episodes, and I said on the show, I was like, I really don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. It's not funny. So how have they swept the board? Anyway, it was so much publicity. We were like, no, we're going to persevere. We're going to push through. And I'm so glad we did. Honestly, I have been crying with laughter at some of the episodes.
It makes me actually laugh out loud.
Yeah. Some of it is like painful to watch. Like, it's so uncomfortable. So it's more of like an internal humor, if that makes any sense. But then there are other parts, like when he redoes the blouse barn, like we were just absolutely wetting ourselves.
Yeah.
It was
so funny. That's what the humor is, how they just do not get it. And like, even as it goes on, they still just don't get it. Polly, anything else to recommend?
So we have, again, this is not like a particularly new concept, new show, but we have been watching The US Office on Netflix. Oh. Because, again, it's kind of like Schitt's Creek. It's just really easy to put on, watch a few episodes of an evening. Like, I was obsessed with the UK Office, but never really watched the US one. And I almost, part of me was a bit like, oh, it's sacrilege. It's nothing like, you know, the UK one. And that was a masterpiece kind of thing. But it's different, but it's still hilarious. And I was kind of surprised how much I've been enjoying it. And yeah, belly laughing at so much of it. It's so great, isn't it?
It's not sacrilegious because it's written by, or at least the beginning, well, you know, the first few are written by Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant. If you've ever watched the pilot of one of them in quite close succession to the pilot of the other, you'll see that it's basically identical. Yeah. Like, the scripts are the same, a load of the jokes are the same. Like, it really is a riff or an American take on the British
exactly. And version. I actually think that's super clever. I think it was clearly just a preconception that I had that, you know, oh, adapting it for a US audience is going to make it worse. But it's just actually super smart how they've done it. And I find it so funny anyway. And it's kind of like, watching a story that you really enjoyed in the UK and then just like slightly different, and it's more extended, so there's more episodes to enjoy. So
there's so many seasons. Yeah.
We also watched a film at the weekend called Dead Man's Shoes, which
one of my favorites. It's incredible,
isn't it? Yeah, so my husband is a bit of a like film buff, and you know, we watch a lot of movies generally, and he was like, oh, I've not actually seen this film. And it's quite rare that both of us haven't seen a film that's quite, you know, I guess classic or prominent, prominent or whatever. And someone had recommended it to him. So we decided to watch it. And it's essentially the story of a disaffected soldier that comes back to his hometown to kind of revenge on a group of thugs who had taken advantage of and sort of abused his brother, who has like sort of learning difficulties. It's not a fun film, I guess. It's not one to watch if you want something uplifting or anything like that. But I do quite like something gritty. And it's by the same director who did This Is England. So
yeah, Shane Meadows.
Yeah, if you liked that kind of thing. And I loved This Is England. So yeah, really, really enjoyed that. And it's one of those films that really stays with you. So I think if you want something a little bit deeper and a little bit more, grittier, as I said, then it's definitely worth a watch, I would say.
And where is it?
Well, you can watch it, actually, on Channel 4. I think it's available for the next few days until it expires, so it's on 4AD. So that cool. Out.
Thanks.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Guys, I saw this beauty trend on Instagram via TikTok, and it literally blew my mind. So basically, young people, the youth today,
the youth of
are
you.
Adding eye bags.
Oh my god, I saw makeup. This as well.
It's what? So okay, weird. Check mine out to not need to add any.
Lucky old us not needing to add them. Yeah. But they're taking, like, I guess it's, you know, the equivalent of like a dark blusher or a darker eyeshadow. And putting it under their eyes. I guess it's for like a more natural feel. But that is literally blowing my mind. I mean, to be fair, these girls are gorgeous. Like, it does look good on them. So they basically take off all their makeup and then they add darkness. And there's
are they trying to like 90s druggy kind of cool that's coming vibes? Back around. I don't know.
Yeah, some of them are a bit grungy. But then look, I mean, okay, obviously she is a bit grungy. But it still kind of seems to be part of like a legitimate makeup routine.
Yeah,
look.
Yeah. There's a craft to it for sure. There's,
I just think that's like you've forgotten to do concealer, hun. Like,
it's interesting, like, whenever you read interviews with Parisian girls and they always say, you know, that's the thing, that, like, they kind of get that effortless look by not concealing everything, and that maybe there's a difference between concealing a spot and concealing, like, I don't know, everybody is darker under their eyes, aren't they? Like, why do we try so hard to cover that up?
I don't know. I think it's the pigmentation thing for me. Like, mine are, like, dark purple. I just think, you know, in any lifetime, that's not going to be nice.
Mine are blue.
Mine are like bluey purple, and I just don't think it does anything for the rest of my complexion, so I end up looking quite unhealthy. Like on Saturday, I came down and my mum was like, you look really good today, did you get a really good sleep, like you look really healthy and bonny. I was like, no, I've just put makeup on for like the first time.
Yeah, I hate that when that happens.
I know. She was like, oh well, it looks really natural, like I wouldn't have known you had anything on. I was like, well obviously you did, because you said I look like a different person.
You said you look bonny.
My mum always said, oh, you look so tired. I'm like, no, I'm literally just not wearing any makeup.
So I just think the whole eye bag thing is just like, that's what people think when I haven't got makeup on. They must think, like, oh, she looks a bit, you know, unwell.
And like, surely this only works if you're 18. And
like, to say, maybe they're 17 and trying to get into the club, so they're like, oh, I'll have an eye bag, and then I'll
all those open clubs. illegal raves, more like. Well, I actually got property ID this weekend. Yes, I had to show the man in Waitrose a photocopy of my passport. A screenshot photocopy.
That is so
yeah, that, I know. Which so I think, given that I'm now, you know, a good nearly 12 years over the limit, I felt quite good about that. Or maybe it's the mask, to be fair. I think
the mask was my
true. Except the literal exact opposite happened to me yesterday in the supermarket. I was trying to buy wine and there was a young girl on the checkout and she obviously wasn't familiar yet with the whole machine. So she had to call her manager over and the manager was like, are you sure she's 18? And the girl just went, yes. Like, duh. Look at her. She is ragged.
That's so sad.
I had a similar thing once where I was at a Tesco's about to buy some wine and then I just sort of went, oh, do you want to see my ID? And he was like, no, don't worry.
Okay, cool. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I'm spending way more time on Zoom than ever before in this lockdown and I just cannot look at my own face bare all day long. And again, no shame about that, whatever, I just look so much better with makeup on. So I'm like getting up full face of makeup every single morning and I do feel so much better for it. I said this to my family, where I had a 4-hour Zoom last week and I messaged my family group and I was like, I just can't handle that amount of time looking at myself. My brother was like, you're not supposed to be looking at yourself, but it's quite hard not to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, everyone does it. I think it's just like untalked about, isn't it? Everyone sort of does it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I'm looking at myself right now. Are you guys making a bit more effort this time around? How are you feeling about the whole dressing up in lockdown? Polly?
I feel like when I know I've got to do something like come on a call like this, like to be honest, if I wasn't doing this today, I wouldn't have worn makeup. I think it's quite nice to not have to bother. But at the same time, I do then walk around the house and I get to a certain point in the day where I'm like, I can't even look at myself anymore. I look dreadful. So I do like to, put a face of makeup on, at least do my hair a little bit, because it is just a bit, sadly, I do need makeup. And I feel like with getting dressed as well, I'm still wearing my like loungewear a lot, but I like to put on like a fun jumper like I'm wearing today or a bit of like jewellery just to make it feel a bit like I'm making an effort.
Agreed.
So a nice striking the balance.
Well, I find the routine quite helpful. Like in the morning I like do my makeup and then in the evening I take off my makeup and it just makes life feel more normal.
Yeah, rather than it all just sort of blending into one like thing.
Exactly. One blob of a day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Extended day.
Let's talk a bit about some site content. We wrote a feature on Brexit from one joy to another. And how Brexit is truly going to affect us financially, travel-wise, a bit of everything. So we're not going to dwell on the politics of Brexit. It is what it is. But I do want to know how you guys feel about it. I mean, I can't believe it's actually happened and we haven't really seen the effects yet, have we? Because we can't travel. But I'm really quite nervous for what it's going to mean long term. Heather, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I think similar to you, because I haven't booked any sort of holidays, let alone anything else. So I think, the reality of what we might have to do and extra forms and extra weights, I think it's only going to be once we can travel again, people will realise, like, oh, fuck, this is actually really complicated. But I think the one thing that I've noticed is, just sort of buying things online. So for stuff on the house, sometimes I'm like looking on Vinteria, which is a vintage website, but, it's your Europe-wide, and I've noticed like the shipping charges for things have just gone through the roof. And I think I've seen online quite a few people have been trying to, buy things from Spanish brands and French brands. And I can't remember who it was. I think it was Polly Vernon. There was a Frankie Shop coat that she really wanted to buy and it was €250, but the shipping was €150. No. So she was like, basically, it was almost £500 to get the coat, whereas it would have been
€150 shipping.
Yeah, at the moment, I think I'm sure they'll work it out at some stage, but I think that's where initially we might realise that that's where we're going to get hit in the pocket.
Thankfully, on the whole, it seems that the visa issue is going to mimic the US very closely, which on the whole is not a huge ask.
But it is if you want to spend any significant time in Europe.
Yes.
If you want to, you can't just pop abroad for a year anymore, but
No, you can't move anywhere really very easily, especially also from a healthcare point of view, although that's quite complicated as well. But if you're just a tourist, I think there was this fear that you would, like in the 70s, have to buy a visa for France, a visa for Spain, like whatever. Whereas basically that's now not the case. There are a couple of exceptions, but on the whole, in the Schengen area, as long as you fill out a form before you go, you're good for 90 days.
Like an Esther.
Exactly.
Yeah. I also applied for a new passport last week.
Oh, and
I know.
I don't even have one at the moment. It expired in June 2020 and I just haven't bothered.
No, well, why bother? Yeah.
Well, so, the reason to bother is because when all of this is over, there's going to be the most enormous application wave. And my mum keeps reminding me. She's like, do it now. But yeah. I don't know, there's just something in me that can't be bothered.
Hey, if you can get an extra year, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's 75. Actually, no, hang on. It's 75 and then you have to pay £5 shipping. So it's actually cool. 80. But mine expires in August, Harriet. So I'm trying to kind of get in there.
Yeah.
In advance of the holiday rush. I messaged Polly and Lou at the time that I was doing the application because it asks you what name you want on your passport. And I was like, shit, guys, do I change my name? Like, do I do it? Is this the time? Like, I still haven't changed my name for my wedding. And I guess that's just how you crack on and do it. So the conclusion I came to was to just keep it because I figured if at any point I give it more serious thought and then I want to change my passport, it is £80. It's not 3,000. So I could just do it, you know, at some point in the next 10 years, I do have that option. But yeah, it felt like quite a seismic moment. And I really need someone to explain Miss and Mrs. to me, which I know sounds ridiculous, but like my name still is Miss Charlotte Collins. My new passport will say Miss Charlotte Collins, and I know I'm not Mrs. Charlotte Collins, but surely I'm not Miss anymore.
To be fair, my aunt, who has never, she's not my blood relative, my uncle is. So he's Jones, which is my mum's family name, and she is American, and she has never changed her name, but she is Mrs. Dina DeVries.
So I could do that.
So I think it must be possible because she has
maybe
always
you could
been
be whatever
Mrs.
you want.
I think you basically can.
I've got a family friend who divorced and has been remarried for 10, 15 years, but still has the same name as her ex-husband because it's her children's name.
Oh, yeah. I've always wondered why people do that because I've always thought in my head, like, God, if I got divorced, I'd be like, nope, and just like get rid of the name instantly. But that makes sense.
Mm. My mum raised a good point at the time, which was exactly what you're saying, Charlotte, having the same name as your kids. She was like, if we were traveling as a three, I just didn't want there to be any questions at like some remote airport where they're like, hang on, the kids are Russell and you're not, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, are you their mother? Like, she was like, I just want to avoid all of that. So
Georgie doesn't have the same surname as her children, and I think she said in the past, I know a lot of people who said this, that administratively it's a real ball ache to not have the same surname as your kids, which is why that's the only reason that I would legally change it. I still don't think I would ever go by it, but yeah, like, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Not all that fast. Heather, would you change your name?
I don't know. I don't think so. I've kind of spoken about it before and I can't remember on this, but basically I'm the last steel in my family. So I kind of feel like, because my sister changed her name, so I kind of feel like I need to keep it for that reason. But I don't know, to be honest, not really.
Still's a strong surname.
It's a good name, yeah. And I'm still not even 100% sure if I want to get married either, so not really thinking about it.
But and also, if you're not bothered about having children either, then that whole issue is kind of erased, isn't it?
Irrelevant, yeah. Polly, you're Mrs. Sayer.
I am Mrs. Sayer.
What were you before?
Bartlett.
Oh, yeah. I remember saying
that. I don't know. I think it just completely depends on, like, how you feel about your surname. I didn't feel particularly attached to mine. I've got a brother, so he's kind of carrying on the family name. And I think my husband's family are very, like, proud of their name for whatever reason, but I just thought it was quite a nice thing to be, you know, I guess from a romantic perspective, we're a family, we're the Sayers and whatever. And but Matt said to me, you know, if I didn't want to take his surname, he'd be like completely fine with that. But what would you do if I asked you to take mine? He was like, well, obviously I'd say no.
Yeah, a lot of men are still like, that's cool, but I'm not taking yours. Like, there's still a way to go in that sense.
I'm still on my Kollowitz mission. Like,
I was gonna say, really, when you just said I was going to change my name on the passport, I was like, it's happening.
Well, yeah. Well, like, we fully refer to ourselves as the Kollowitz. Like, Scooby's surname is Kollowitz. Yeah. Well, he won't do it, though.
Oh.
But I did figure I could be Kollowitz and then our kids could be Kollowitz. And
exactly.
Then he could be the sucker with a different surname.
I reckon do it. I think we're all quite lucky because we're writers. So I feel like if we wanted to, if we got married or wanted to change our names to our husband's names, we could do, but then you can still kind of keep your maiden name as your writing name, professional name, and it kind of get the best of both worlds that way.
Yeah. Anyway, well, we've come well off topic from Brexit, but if you are concerned about how Brexit is going to affect you, then we have written a feature, so do check it out on the site. Let's finish by talking a bit about fashion. We wrote a feature on Wardrobe NYC, which is a label that's been around for a little while, for a few years, founded by Christine Centenera, who is fashion director at Australian Vogue, and Josh Goot, who is an Australian designer. But we thought we should just give it a bit of attention now because their new lookbook is so incredible and it really is just the, like, the brand that everybody is taking cues from, Polly, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obsessed with this brand because Christine Centenera is like incredible in herself, her style, and she's a bit of a street style icon, isn't she? And so it's amazing to be able to get like a slice of her aesthetic in her brand, I suppose. But what I really love, particularly at the moment, is, and you mentioned this in the feature, is that it feels really relevant to now, in that everything's quite classic, nothing's too dressed up and too pretty and fussy. And if you want to make a bit more of an effort, you know, as opposed to wearing just loungewear, but you still want to be comfortable, then this kind of look is spot on. And it's yeah, definitely a bit of me.
Agreed. It's just so polished and cool. Heather, what do you think about the brand?
Oh, I love it. Like, it's how I would love to be able to dress. It's so cool. And yeah, like slick and like crisp lines. Like the picture that's in the feature of the woman wearing all white with the shirt and blazer and skirt just looks incredibly cool. So, and yeah, like Polly said, I think you could mix and match the pieces and look quite polished with like a nice oversized blazer or something. Big fan.
Split hem legging is the one, isn't it, right now?
Split hem legging. They're all about the split hem legging. It's also a look that's really easy to replicate on the high street, isn't it? Like Zara, Arket. It was not difficult at all to kind of find those similar products. Harriet, yeah, is this going to be a hit or a miss? I never know with you.
No, it's definitely a hit. I agree with Heather. I think in a lot of ways, it's how I wish I dressed most of the, like in normal times, like if we were going to the office, I wish I turned up looking like this most days. But I don't know, a part of me almost wants maybe a bit more personality, which is why I think the lookbook that they've done is so good, because it shows how to wear these pieces in a bit more of an original way. Does that make sense? So, like, it's not just leggings and a blazer and a crop top or whatever. The way they've styled it actually makes these pieces look as though you've put your own sort of spin on them, rather than just, like, done the whole kind of very Instagram, like, minimalism, for want of a better word.
Which I think they've moved away from, because actually when they launched, the idea was that you would buy an entire capsule wardrobe from them. So I think it was 8 or 16 pieces. The idea, I mean, although it was obviously a hideously expensive way to shop, here's everything you need, your leggings, your shirt, your jacket, whatever, and that's it, and you don't need anything else, which, yeah, I agree. I think it's good that they've injected a bit of individualism into it.
I love the new editorial. It's so good.
I know, so nice. All right, well, have a look at the feature on site if you're looking for a bit of fresh inspo for classics, really. I think we'll leave it there for today. Thanks, everyone. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sheerluxe.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.